So, fun fact, Trump, to call him, like, Orange Leader in German. You know, I was thinking, I was looking up, like, I really was hoping there'd be a fucking, like, very phlegmy word. It would be orange in German.
But yeah.
It's just orange.
Yeah.
Touch it.
Give mind to things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Knockcast, episode 336.
Not your traditional American podcast. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And she was not here this week. She had some work stuff come up, and that happens. So we are back. We weren't able to record last week due to getting people to airports and whatnot.
Yeah.
And just
me life. Not being present.
Yep. Well, you weren't present.
Hence the airport.
And I had to get you to the airport, so yeah. I didn't get home until, like, really late. And Shiva has to work in the morning, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have time, really. So it's been yet another week in our nightmare reality. Things are weird. And
our last day of having a functional democracy.
Yeah. You know,
a functional government.
You know, it's interesting that there will not be a functioning executive branch after noon tomorrow.
Yep.
And, you know.
And we don't say this just because we disagree with the people coming in. It's
there's
the fact
literally
that
a shitload of positions that are not filled.
Right. There's nobody coming in.
Yeah.
There's like, what was it, 28 out of 600 and something positions?
Something ridiculous like
yeah.
that.
Like, and I read the article, and they're like, the people that are there now, they're leaving the briefings on the desk. They're like, no one's come by, no one's asked any questions, so
yep.
By noon tomorrow, I'm out of a job, and we're just going to leave the information here. And
yeah, well, it was like the director of the National Guard for Washington, D.C., was fired effective immediately, 12:01 and, you know, p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And then they realize they don't have anybody coming in to fill in the role. And he's like, no, can you stay? And he's like, no.
Really? Because I actually had that thought. I was like, I wouldn't put it past them to just say, for Trump to just say, well, we'll just keep everyone that's already here.
Doesn't quite work that way.
You know, and then it's like, well, maybe they could, that way still qualified people would be in there. But there's also like, if they're all political appointments, do we really want to keep working for that administration? I don't know.
No.
But I guess that's probably not an option. There's probably some kind of legal thing that even if they did want to stay, they'd have to be rehired technically or
yeah,
something
you gotta,
like that.
So do you actually believe in science and empirical fact? Do you think that the Bible should not be the foundational document of all law? I'm sorry, but we're just looking for someone a little more crypto-fascist and religiously, you know, mm-hmm. dominant. But, you know, welcome to Knockcast. We're a bunch of
we're looking for someone
fucks.
Less qualified.
Yeah. We've been really trying to keep it politics light over here the last couple
yeah,
of weeks. But
sorry
it's just,
about that. I slipped into
no,
that.
No, it's completely fine because it just it unites us. Like, mm-hmm. all of my friends are all equally horrified.
I'm a uniter, not a divider.
And so it's just, you know, it hasn't been an easy couple weeks in my neck of the woods either. My family saga's ongoing.
Mm.
And so it's just been kind of a few hits after another. It's kind of sucked. Not going to go into too many deal with that because it's family stuff.
Mm. You
know? But let's see what. I mean, you just got back from FC. We're going to talk. We're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about some cool nerd shit. You're going to talk about FC.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about the spring anime, or technically the winter anime season and how it's kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a few emails this week. And, you know, we'll insert some jokes and some porn. I don't know how we're going to do that. Just imagine this picture. It's Rocket Raccoon, but instead of a giant gun in his lap, it's got a giant cock. I don't know.
Hey, kids, how about horse cock? And the audience just goes wild.
Yay!
I'm holding up. Yeah, you're holding up the applause sign for me.
And it's just like the canned, like, children's cheer from the 1950s. Sounds tinny and awful, but no, from our recorded studio audience.
Totally. I grab my phone. Notcast was animated in front of a live studio audience. So, yeah, I went to FC. I know I said FWA because I saw your FAO Schwartz bag, and I was like, FWA
Schwartz. FWAO Schwartz.
I just sort of slipped into FurryCon acronyms there. Okay, so I went to FC, which is short for Further Confusion, in case you didn't know.
And where is that?
That is in sunny San Jose, California.
It wasn't sunny this time.
So, like, the weather's been really crazy in Texas the last month or so, and, like, it snowed a few weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks back, and then, like, as I was leaving, it was, like, 70 degrees, get out to California, and it's, like, 45, and it's just, and I didn't bring a hoodie or anything, partially because I was rushed. Partially because I was sort of like, I was warm that day anyway. And you're
going to California. It doesn't go below 70 usually.
Right. I didn't really think about it. And I get there and it's fucking pretty cold all weekend. Not like super, super Arctic cold or something like that, but chilly, you know? So like, couple times I'm walking from the Marriott to the, Il Fellatio, I'll call it, the Italian restaurant across the street.
The cock-sucking restaurant.
Right, yeah. So, and, like, I'd be out there, like, waiting at the light to cross with my friends. I'd be like, Jesus, it's fucking cold. Like, teeth, like, I was talking to Kyle on, I'm drinking a Coke Zero here, and it's making me belchy. I was talking to Kyle after we had dinner on Sunday night, and, like, his voice is shaking because he's so cold, and, like, my teeth are chattering. And, like, it's just across the road. Yeah, we're wusses. What do you want? So I did three panels. I was on two of them, and I attended a third. The two I was on were – the first one was for Planet Presents, which was about our new releases and, like, what our 2017 plans are. And also included two author readings. So basically, I did a brief introductory segment. I had brought a copy each of our new stuff from MFF and FC. I went over them briefly. And I had Watts Martin there to do a reading from Kismet. And Kyle Gold was there to do a reading from Love Match, both of which were new releases at FC.
Check them out at FurPlanet.com.
That's right, yes. And that was a 90-minute panel, and I finished it off. We did some Q&A at the end. The next panel I did on Saturday was called What's Your Problem? And I did that with Ryan Campbell, who's the author of God of Clay, co of the Drowned Kingdom, Jacoby. I don't know if he's out about his real name or not, but he does a lot of blogging. He had a story back in one of the New Tibet anthologies. He's a really great guy, but he'd also done the two of them primarily did some slush reading for New Fables. So that was their like editorial experience. Kyle,
we've read your shit,
yeah,
and it was
shit. No, Kyle was on the panel, and he's done some novel slush pile reading for Soap Wolf, and he also edited the anthology X, so he had experience with working with authors in an editorial capacity. And then the fourth person was me. It's just I own a publishing company, and I've done some proofing, and I've read submissions and stuff like that. So basically, the panel was about what's the most common problems that we see with stories that would cause them to get a no, or would what pops out at us as like a, you know, like frequent issues, basically. And like, you know, some of them are like, they're like, there's all these rules and stuff like that, but like occasionally, you know, it depends on the editor as to what is like more of an issue for them than others. My particular annoyances are people that overly rely on exclamation points and using italics for emphasis too much. you know, and like everything is screaming something, exclamation point, or people that add more to one exclamation point. So that's not actually a thing in published work. Like, three exclamation points doesn't mean extra surprised. And but
just like my video games told me otherwise.
I know, right? Damn just it. Like four or five dots in a row doesn't mean a longer and longer pause. Ellipses only ever have three dots. Occasionally there'll be a fourth that will be the period at the end of the sentence. But that's one of those things that, like, some editors do that and some don't. So that's a stylistic thing. But you'll absolutely never have more than that in a row.
Never any ellipsis. Because reasons.
Never any at all. Ellipsis.
Never. Ever.
Yeah, you know, little things like that. Other stuff I pointed out was when, like, dialogue isn't separated by character. Like, it's okay to have, like, a line of dialogue and then a paragraph that is that character's actions. But don't mix another character's dialogue into that. Like, every character gets their own power. Every dialogue gets their own paragraph for every character.
So you can't just, like, nest the quotation mark?
Yeah, like, well, no, not nesting the quotation marks, but just, like...
Well, it's, like, phrase, in phrase, different phrase, and you have to, like,
and intuit. That's okay, as long as it's the same person speaking.
No, what if it's two people going back and forth? I've seen that in, like, fanfics. It's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, and, like, that... You're not supposed to do that. It makes it more difficult for readers to, like, comprehend and keep up with who the fuck is talking. Both things like that. Also, head hopping. That annoys me, too. Like, if you're using, like, a third-person limited perspective, you're supposed to basically be following, like, one character throughout the story. Like, that's the point of view character. And it's more interesting if, like... If you're following that character and they're having to figure out what the fuck's going on, as opposed to, like, you hop into the head of every character and tell it all from their point of view. It's okay to do that, like, from chapter to chapter. You know, chapter one's point of view character is Fluttershy, and chapter two's is Discord, and chapter three jumps back or something like that. But just... I've seen people where they'll do it back and forth, back and forth, back, like every other paragraph or yeah. something like that. And like, so suddenly you're reading the next paragraph, but you don't know yet that it's from the POV of another character. And you're like, wait, why is Fluttershy doing that? She doesn't drink coffee. But, oh, no, wait, I'm actually reading Discord's part. And there's no, like, and I'm looking at Saverin's figures, bust my waifu in my head as I describe this scene, but... Anyway, I'm probably rambling on too long, but for those of you that are interested in writing, these are some of my thoughts on that. The third panel I went to was on Sunday, and that was the Furry Writers Guild meet. And basically, it was Watts Martin and another new writer, Amy Fontaine. She's been published in two volumes of Roar. She's a cool up-and-coming writer. And they basically presented like what the guild was about, you know, what they did and so forth. And then it did a Q&A, and ideally it was supposed to be more of like a round table, kind of like everyone could sort of meet and chat thing, but they didn't have anybody reset the room after the previous panel. So it ended up in your typical classroom panel style, which was not the original intention, but it actually worked out okay. We had some good dialogue, and I saw like two or three people that were in that panel show up on the forum later on, like, hi, I just heard about this from the FC panel and so forth. So that was fun.
So I'm just chuckling quietly to myself, and I just think, is there a furry artist guild? Lol.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, there's probably not, because nobody can agree, but there's just like, furry writers guild, yeah. Teehee, I'm actually 12.
Well, there can't be a furry artist guild with those initials because there's already the film actors guild.
Right.
Great job, fag. Sales were down slightly and attendance was down slightly, like 20 people down. But basically, it's in that range. So basically stable. Like, yeah. I think the con is pretty much... plateaued is in the last 3-4 years as far as growth is concerned. And they may have just tapped out the San Jose area. Like, cons are heavily regional. Even huge cons are heavily regional. Like, most of the people that go to AnthroCon are from Pennsylvania, where the con is.
Or just that Northeast, because that area is just crazy densely populated.
Yeah. And so when you get more and more of little cons and little regional cons and stuff like that, you know, maybe people aren't flying all the way out to San Jose, which can be expensive to get to, depending on what part of the country you're in. You know, maybe they're going to something closer to home or in the middle of the country or something. I don't know. But there's only – not every con is experiencing stratospheric growth right now, and FC seems to have basically stopped. But it's still a very well-run con. I actually said fuck it and went super sponsor this year because I really liked the T-shirt art, which I think you saw the other day when we went out to lunch.
I might have.
It was that burgundy T-shirt
okay.
I was wearing. Okay. Well, Ajax had noticed the shirt and I showed him, but I should have showed you the
I've slept since then.
The artwork on it. Yeah, that's okay. It was good work. But we sold out of Kismet. We sold out of Dogs of War, which was our anthology release, Dags of War.
Tyrion was like, I can't believe he did that, but it was a really got a lot of traction. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he was so pissed. He was both pissed about the joke and pissed that my Photoshop skills were very inadequate.
No, that's what gave it its charm.
And I actually thought so. Like, if it was a really bad Photoshop, I felt that actually added that to it.
Dags
of War. And someone had replied to me, he's like, why would I care about it? It's got no fucking wheels. but it was a good time. Man, we even had somebody art of Zootopia out there, and we sold all the copies that we brought. And then we had like three people come up to us after we sold out, like, sorry, sold out. And one guy was, ah, damn it. And I was like, I'm thinking, I don't think people believe us when we say this is the last copy we have with us. And I think surely no one else would ever buy it, or we're lying and we've got a stack of them under the table or something.
You got any in the back?
Hey, you could literally see the back from here. I should talk about the dealer's room, by the way, because this is interesting. So this was the first year FC has changed their dealer's room since they moved to this convention center / hotel area, well, 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, I was going to say they didn't move from where they were, but now they actually have use of the convention
space. So they've expanded into convention space, and from what I understood, like, moving into the convention area more than they already were was mostly about it was going to cost them a lot more. That's why they sort of resisted moving into that area for dealers. But, like, with as many dealers they have and as high as demand is to get into that dealer's room, they should have probably expanded the room, like, 2 or 3 years ago at least. So, unfortunately, they didn't have one big room. It was split. They had one quite large room and then one smaller than that, which they called Dealer's Room West and Dealer's Room East. East was the bigger one. And it was on the first floor of the convention center. So it was actually down below the level of the Marriott lobby.
Yeah, the last time I was there was like it was under construction and not in use.
Yeah, this area is actually finished now. It was quite nice. And what was cool was, so you go down these escalators, right? And there's this big open room, and it has tables and chairs to sit and hang out. And there's the escalators there, but there's also a set of stairs, and there's lots of people just hanging out, sitting on the stairs, talking and shit like that. That room also has the convention tables line. So there's like the FC info desk. BabsCon had a table there.
Yeah, I saw that Sonya Lynn was there.
Also, the 28 WorldCon had a table there because the 2018 WorldCon is in San Antonio. What?
Oh, I'm just like, they were in San Jose because it's in San Antonio.
No, San Jose. Sorry.
Okay, I was like, that doesn't make any sense, Buzz.
I'm sorry. I think my mind's a little scattered today. Today's been an odd day for me. No, they're in San Jose. And that's also where they had the Psycho Donuts. And then those you go down the hall around the corner, and that's where the dealer's rooms are. So my initial fear looking at the map was that with the dealer's rooms being downstairs from the rest of the convention was, would we get any traffic? That was my big concern. But the way they set it up was actually very good, because by having the donut place there and that general hangout area, I think that drew people in there. Like, there were parts of the con where, like, there was not a single seat available in that area. Like, there were lots of people milling around and stuff like that. So I don't think we had any problem with getting traffic down to that bottom level and having people in that go around to see the dealers.
So they had, like, because the Psycho Donuts was, like, a block or two away outside, but I guess they set up a stand inside the...
Yeah, yeah, they've always done that at FC. It used to be upstairs, like, where the volleyball area used to be, and they would cater to both FC and the volleyball people.
But then they determined that furries were better.
I guess. I don't know. This year it was downstairs in that area. But, yeah, I know they have a physical store somewhere, but, like, for the last few years they've always had a stand that they've brought out there. It's like basically a little bigger than a dealer's booth kind of area, like a 10 by 10 square or something like that. And, you know, and they're popular. They sell out of all their shit. So that was pretty good. It felt like the con was a lot smaller. And I think that was because it was more spread out.
Yeah.
Because, like, with moving the dealer's room out of the hotel, that cleared up that entire ballroom, which they made one of the large parts of its second stage, and then they turned the other parts into, like, four more panel rooms. So, like, that really, I think that spread the con out a little bit more, so it just felt smaller because it wasn't as crowded.
Looks like our first year at the Intercontinental for Fiesta. Yeah.
And what was nice, like the dealer's room, the aisles were really wide this year. And we had a fuckload of space behind the table, which before had been really shitty, like tripping over the wires that they'd put in place to bring power to everybody. And like you would have less than a table's width, like behind the table. And it was really difficult for us with all those book boxes and shit.
Yeah.
But this time we had like a ton of space behind the table. The aisles were nice and wide because previous years we'd had friends come up to the room or the door of the dealer's room and be like, I was going to come visit you guys at the table on Friday, but I just looked in there and was like, nah, because it was just so absolutely packed with people and you couldn't see shit. And now, like, I think on the customer side, it was probably a much more pleasant browsing experience because people could actually move around without bumping into each other all the time.
The one time I went, I've only been to FC once. I was assisting behind the table that year, and that was when they were still in the hotel, and it was that weird egg-shaped room, and it was butt-to-butt.
Yeah.
And not even in a fun way.
Yeah.
And
this was a lot nicer.
Well, that's good.
So we had a pretty pleasant dealing experience. The only thing that was a little bit of a downside, which is something that they know they're going to address, is that the tables were extremely narrow. Like, they were basically like this.
Yeah.
They were like a foot and a half.
So deep. They're like the tiny, thin tables that I have in the game room at Fiesta.
Yeah. And that was actually an issue that came up because of the convention center. Like, apparently we were supposed to have full-size regular tables.
But that's fucked up.
Which is a problem for us because, like, usually we have space for our big rack that we have the books on, and we have those at the back edge, and we still have space to put a whole row of books in front of it. This year, our rack filled up the table from front to back. And if the table had been any smaller, like, our book racks wouldn't have fit on it, you know? So that was that cut back on our display space a little bit, and that was kind of a pain. But that's something that the con is apparently going to address with the convention center, so I don't expect that to occur next year.
Okay.
So still a good con to go to, still a lot of people there. I had some really nice dinners and chatting to folks and everything. I wasn't super active. I went to bed at like 10 o'clock every night.
Yes.
because I am old and lame. But you know what? I got 11 hours sleep all 3 days at a con.
And that feels fun.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so Tyrion was cool with, like, I would get up and open the table. Tyrion would party late, and then he'd close down the table at the end of the day. So it all worked out just fine. Anyway, I tried to make that interesting. Part of it, I'm just telling you because I haven't told you much about the con yet.
But so. FC, it was indeed a thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I didn't get the chance to go to FC this year. I have been around here, and like, I'm not getting to go to PAX South this year because
that sucks. Sorry, yeah, man.
And haven't sold my badge either, so I'm probably gonna be just out the money. But I bought that like middle last year, so big fucking deal.
Yeah,
I'm fine being out $75 as opposed to going and spending like a grand to go to that.
Are you going to Haven Con this year?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm pretty
cool.
Sure, I bought a ticket.
You know who else is going?
Well,
Zia.
Yeah, I saw him tweeting at that, and I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, we should do lunch. And I'm like, yeah. It's coffee, too. If you've watched Luke Cage, which is actually really good. I'll
talk about some of that, too. But, yeah, it's cool. He's going to fly out there, and so help me behind the table. You're still welcome to hang out at table, too, of course.
But yay.
Now we don't all have to, like, be there all at the same time. Also, he's good at selling, and he knows about sci-fi and stuff as well.
It's going to be like, buy these books.
Yes.
I haven't done anything that interesting. I've watched a bunch of Netflix stuff and anime.
Yeah.
So we're going to transition into Saren's anime hour. Not really. Not an hour, but... well, okay, so we're
it's anime time.
Anime. So actually, I did finish up Luke Cage. Have you watched that at all?
I have. I've watched all of it.
That's good stuff. And then Travelers is a Netflix original series.
I haven't watched that yet. I know what the concept is.
Yeah, basically people from the future, the you know, implied rather grim, meatless, milkless future, project their consciousness back in time to the moment of the original person's death, and takes over their lives.
Mm.
Like they're supposed to die, but they don't, and. There we go.
But who that person is still dies because they're replaced by these.
But they try to take over the lives of the people, but that doesn't work so well.
Because
it's implied but not shown that like these people have serious personality changes. There's one where this rather meek black lady is getting pushed around by her bad cop boyfriend, and where she would have died, she comes back, and the person who takes over her. Consciousness knows martial arts and kicks his ass.
Nice.
Like she gets back up and kicks his ass. There was one where a severely mentally handicapped woman would die and gets taken over by someone who's not and functions perfectly normally, except for there's still the issue that she has severe brain damage and that she could have seizures that would kill her again. That's another plot point. It's a 12 episodes. On Netflix, it's not the highest budget production, but it does remind me of like good early 2000 TV drama kind of stuff. Yeah, Panther's in the corner going, "It's good." We watched that together.
Cool.
And hey, you know what tomorrow is though? Another great thing, Voltron season 2. Legendary Defender Voltron, the first season. I watched it with James, and it actually is really fun. Oh, we'll get there. You can text it to me, my president. Panther's going to text me the tweet. It's something else that he was like, oh, bring this up. But the first season of Voltron was pretty good. I liked it a lot. And now, basically, the season ends with the main characters being scattered to the winds of space. So they have to reconnect and continue to fight.
So that they can reconnect.
Yeah, so they can fight evil Emperor Zarkon. And whatnot. And it's done by the same studio that did Avatar and Korra. So it's well animated. There's budget behind it. Again, I think they got it for 72 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. They were like, we're going to buy in hard on this one. Because the first season was like 13 episodes. So 72 or like 76, something like that. It's like six 72. Seasons.
Yeah.
So if they're good, like, yo, six seasons in a movie for that, I'm like, hell yeah. But haven't watched a lot of other. What else have I? Like, I feel bad that it's like I'm just talking about media I'm consuming, but there's really not been a lot of like shit that I can really discuss on a podcast going on. Like the new season of anime is going underway. People are like, oh, let's hear Savern anime cast, and they're talking in the Telegram room, and it's like right now this season is kind of grim. There are, let's see, about three shows that I think are really worthwhile. And one of them, the absolute best show of the season, you have to pirate if you want to watch it week to week, because it's Little Witch Academia. It's Harry Potter, but anime girls. And that's a good thing, right? They have a good budget. Studio Trigger is doing it. These are the guys that did Kill a Kill. They did Space Patrol Aluko. They did Kiznaiver last season. They did Gurren Lagann was kind of the same people, but that was Gainax. These guys do really nice anime. And this one is cute and wholesome and family-friendly and cute girls doing cute things, Harry Potter style. It's even set in England. And they have a very, you know, varied cast. Like, the main characters are Japanese, Filipino, and Finnish. But you have to pirate that shit because it's Netflix put the money into it. You get the worldwide distribution rights. And because they don't put things up piecemeal in America, they put it up when they have complete seasons. If you want to watch it legally and probably dubbed in the U.S., you have to wait until at least the first half is done because it's going to be a 26-episode series.
Yeah.
So either you might get it a couple months from now or you might get it into summer. And then you can Netflix that shit because, you know, they've turned it into a verb. But it's really good, really cute, super catchy. I'm checking out.
There's pictures of the empty White House on the Twitter right now as everyone is leaving before tomorrow.
So, yeah. No, that is kind of grim.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that Panther was wanting me to mention is the cocktail suggestion for January 20th, the Nyet My President. It's a white Russian beneath a thin orange skin and fake gold leaf garnished. It actually pulled up because, like, again, this there's just not that many.
Someone made an animation of President Obama doing Home Alone, the White House.
So, Little Witch Academia, interviews with monster girls. So,
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Monster girls as a genre have been, well, Monster Musume 2 seasons ago, I think it was, super great. Full of boobs, don't fuck the snake. I thought it was really great. But it was super sexualized monster girls. This is, it presents monster girls as being more like, and it's not really an apt comparison because it's just like you're different. You know, they're extreme minorities. Like there's the main character has a number of demi-humans as they are known in the world. There's a succubus who's a teacher. There's a vampire girl. There's a snow girl who's like super cold. And a Dullahan, the Irish ghost spirit.
I'm sorry.
Just like
there's a snow girl who's super cold. I'm like, okay.
It's a Japanese mythology thing, all right?
All right.
But instead of it being a raunchy sex comedy or anything, it's actually, like, really earnest. And because the main character is a biology teacher who wants to write, like, a thesis paper on these people. And, like, sits down and talks to them and is like, all right, so, you know, how does this affect your life? What does this do? And it's cute interactions. It was one of those where it could be really creepy, but it's not. And the main character is not a creep. And then for the next show that actually the main character is a creep, Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is a gag anime where basically a drunken lesbian maid-loving office lady wanders into the woods, finds a dragon, and offers for her to come back to her apartment. Okay. Then the next morning, well, it's like a giant dragon asleep in the woods. Like, you want to come back to my place? And doesn't remember the next morning because she opens the door. And there's this giant fucking dragon with its face filling her doorframe, and she's like, "What the fuck?" And then magic happens, and she teleports down, and she becomes a, you know, busty human female in a maid dress with a big thick dragon tail. And this dragon is in total lesbians with her, and Hilarity ensues.
This sounds kind of hot. I mean, kind of funny.
It's funny, and it's not drawn, like, super lewd, and it's not designed to be, like, lewd.
What a pity that they really missed the boat there.
Oh, there's enough out there. I'm sure that there will be plenty of doujinshi.
Plenty of Rule 34.
Of this character who's just like, I totally want to bang you, Miss Kobayashi. And for her, she's like, she's totally cool with that because she's like, she finds maids are like her thing. So she has this big-titted dragon maid as her house servant. So it's cute. The first couple episodes are out on that one. But other than that, man, so this season doesn't have that many shows. And the shows that are out there are middling. Like, there's, like, last season I finished, I think, 4 or 5 shows total. And this one I have 3 that are, like, I want to watch these all the way through, possibly. Because there's a couple that are just fucking awful. There's this one called The Saga of Tanya the Evil. Okay? It is magical loli girl psychopath in magical World War One, but they sure look like Nazis. Okay?
I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah. It's the character design for the main character and her like backup are just kind of grotesque. And the actual story, which is revealed in episode 2, is that basically the main character is a rules at any cost, like, asshole. Like, he will burn down your house if it'll save him a couple bucks, right?
Is there any way to make this cockatrice stand up?
I don't think so. You have to, like, balance it on its tail a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not that great of a figure. Fuzz is currently fucking with the cockatrice that came with one of my pony figurines over here.
What should it come with?
The Shadow Bolt.
Oh, okay.
The evil pony girl.
Really needs to be hooked up with Fluttershy. It's like weird animal thing. She would totally take just like care.
Stare at it.
Has a bizarrely cute little face. Even though it's like demonic looking.
There's not actually a Fluttershy figure in that line because it's the action-y sets. There's Rainbow Dash and there's Pinkie Pie and there's Cheese Sandwich and there's Twilight. But there's no like Fluttershy Rarity or Applejack, which is weird because Applejack would just kick the shit out of us.
Yeah. What's the name? Kicks McGilligutty? I don't forget.
Something like that.
You named your legs?
But basically, going back to the shitty anime, the main character's office guy, and he basically very cruelly fires a guy. And he goes to his train station, waiting for his train, and he's all like, I'm just going to coast into being upper management, and I will be secure. And the guy he fired very callously pushes him into the oncoming train.
Wait, what?
He's just like...
Sorry, which anime is this again?
The Saga of Tanya the Evil. Magical alt history, totally not Nazis, World War One thing. Just hang with me here because the premise is fucking stupid.
All right.
So, God pauses time. And basically begins talking to him through the people that are standing around the station as, like, time slowly ticks forward.
Sort of like the way Professor Xavier talks to Mystique through the minds of all the people around her in Days of Future Past.
And basically, God's like, so, you're kind of a shit. So, good news. You've got a couple choices. You can face oblivion, or you can be reincarnated. And he's like, fuck you, I don't believe in you. And God's like, what? You're shit. Why do you let this stuff happen? Do you know how hard it is to micromanage 7 billion people? Well, you're a shitty manager. Fuck you. And he's basically like, yo, God, fuck you. And so in this case, God's like, okay, I'll tell you fucking what. You want to see some real challenge? You want to face some real hardship? All right. You're going to get one more reincarnation. And when you're dead, you're fucking dead. And he reincarnates the guy in an alternate history, like 1910, as a little orphan girl in pre-war World War Germany. Not exactly a good place to be. And basically he's like, well, fuck, I have to do this. Well, this in this particular world has magic and yada yada. So basically, he retained his memories and shit. So he's this total fucking sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just grotesque. Like, I have pretty low standards when it comes to anime. And this is just like, this is just... the main character is... The character is called literally Tanya the Evil. It is Ow the Edge, the anime, right? I joked about Kill la Kill being edgy when it really wasn't. It was a total gag comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And just lots of tits and stuff. But this is, like, legitimately trying to be super edgy and hardcore and, you know, man, Nazis are cool. And it's like... It's not that it's set World War One, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's still... German military fetishism mm-hmm. from Japan, which...
They seem to do that.
Yeah, they do. So it's... That's about, like, the bottom of the... This is actually a competent anime.
Yeah.
Versus, like, this is total garbage. Because there's a couple that are, like... there's, like, some that I need to catch up on, like Konosuba, which is one of those, like... It's an alternate reality thing, but...
Kama Sutra?
What? Konosuba.
Okay.
Where basically it is main character is a shut-in gamer nerd who leaves his house for like the last time. He's like, I'm going to go 4-hour round trip to get this special edition video game.
Okay.
And he goes to save this girl from his school from being run over by a truck.
Uh-huh.
And then it's revealed, no, it was actually a tractor, but you went into shock and had a heart attack because you thought you were getting hit by a truck. So you died covered in your own piss. From shock at a hospital, and your family is literally laughing at how stupid your death was. But here's your thing. You can take, you're going to get reincarnated in the second world. You can take any one thing from this world with it. Uh-huh. And he's like, because this like angel's talking to him, angel, goddess, whatever. He's like, all right, you're coming with me.
Wow.
And so another angel pops up and's like, I got you. He got you good. Uh-huh. See ya. And because that was like that angel's like subordinate, like her, like her, like neck, her personal reporter, her. And yeah. So basically they get thrown into an RPG fantasy world where she's like, doesn't necessarily have any powers or anything. And for he has to beat the game essentially to get reincarnated back into the real world. And for her to regain her powers and go back to whatever heaven or whatever she served, she has to go with him and serve him.
Huh.
And it got a second season and it's cute and people are like, oh, my waifus, because it's four chicks and a dude.
Mm-hmm.
There's the main girl, Aqua, then there's the sorcerer girl, the strong girl. There's like, yeah, that's like three girls and the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, anime, man. It's fucking weird.
It's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. It's crack would be cheaper. At least that was the line it used to be.
Yeah.
Back when discs cost $30 a pop.
Yeah, man.
I posted a picture from Half Price Books around here. They actually had the full set of the original Trigun DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, I was able to get the first few when they were coming out at Half Price Books at the time for $15 a disc, because that was half price. And the others, there was a couple that still hadn't come out, so I had to get them, like, as they were released, every, like, couple months apart at a time.
Yeah.
Three episodes at a time, $30 pop.
I think I remember spending $20-$30 on each on Gravitation.
Yeah.
It's the only one I really bought.
And this was 26 episodes across 8 discs. It was like 5-3-3-3-3-3-5, I think it was.
Mm.
But there at now half price, they were $5 a disc. Like, yeah.
What was that other one you tweeted, though, that was like super expensive? Some kind of set that you...
Oh, there was a Gundam Wing set that was $150.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a also have a Neon Genesis Evangelion Platinum Collection set. They had it at the Mothership Half Price. That was $150.
Okay, yeah,
because it's probably super out of print. Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of anime discs that you see at like if you ever seen anime discs for sale at like Half Price, if it's not a complete set, don't even fucking touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, odds are you can find a set legally for cheaper. And if not, if it's incomplete, you're never going to find the individual discs.
Mm.
So it's like, I have discs 1, 2, and 3, but there's 7 discs in the series. Well, good fucking luck, buddy.
Mm.
I learned my lesson the hard way when it came to, like, Crunchyroll was doing a $20 box of crap, and you got, like, 30 DVDs in it. And because it was, like, random discs one or disc three or disc four.
Ooh.
So I think I got, out of a $20 box, I got, like, six or seven discs that were, like, either movies or, like, disc ones.
Yeah.
So I have a like, a shelf of discs in my, over there in the hallway over there. Mm-hmm. It is just, like, I should take to, like, a gun range and just use them for skeet shooting. Like, your wife who is shit! People are...
Fucking iPhone with no mute function.
No, it was buzzing.
That, yeah, buzzing, exactly. It sounds loud as fuck.
So...
You've got a really powerful vibrator.
Yes, it is nice.
It's like the vibrator Hitachi model.
You know, I'm just going to say that those things are worth it.
Oh, the Hitachi Magic Wand?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking great.
They are good, yeah.
As actual massagers, like, they're mm-hmm. really, really good. They will vibrate the shit out of you.
Yep.
So at this point, we're not quite to an hour. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Like,
So while I was at FC, the Slate article dropped. Have you not seen the Slate article on Kyle's book?
Oh, okay. I was like, which one are we talking about? The like Bronies for Trump one? The alt furries? No.
So there's a LGBT reporter named Matt Baum who lives in Seattle, I think. And a while back, he'd started talking to Kyle on Twitter or whatever, and was like expressing interest in his work and wanted to interview him. So Kyle was like, hey, it was told me before it dropped. He was like, hey, I did this interview with this guy. It's going to be on Slate. It's going to talk about the book. So, you know, just FYI, you might get like an uptick in orders or something like that. And I was like, okay, cool.
Sounds good to me, right?
And I was like, when is this article dropping? And we didn't really know. And it happened to drop like the Saturday of FC.
Oh, yeah.
And so, of course, I'm immediately like, excuse me a minute. I have to do like my business social media thing and immediately tweet this. And of course, I added like, hey, if you're at FC, you can find this book in the dealer's room. The book is The Time He Desires. And it was the article just talking because the main character is Muslim and is dealing with sexuality. And it's a very interesting book. It's a very different kind of book, especially for one written in the fandom. And the article was about that. And, you know, don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. It's just a valid thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I did out of curiosity. And I'm always surprised how quickly they go completely off the rail. Like, super quickly. You know, oh, the author's a Jew because of his last name. Why is he writing a book about Islam?
And it's this is more about the international Jew conspiracy to weaken America's white future by turning us into furry Muslims.
You've obviously read the comments because you were way too accurate.
I did, unfortunately, like... flip through that, and also the description of the furry fandom was completely off. So there was a couple people like, "Why the fuck would two Muslims in fursuits fuck? That's dumb." And like, and it was really hateful in a lot of ways too.
Yeah,
it's like unsurprising.
The comments, not the article.
Yeah, the article was very nice, and just we've just seen the like screen caps of that. And the really nice cover art is like, have furries gone too far? Hashtag stop furries 2K16 or, well, 2K17.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like,
yeah,
it's so weird.
But, you know, it did result in an uptick in sales.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's a positive article. And,
you know, we'll
put it in front of people's eyes who wouldn't.
Kyle and I may have a fatwa on our heads now, apparently. But
just wrap yourself in bacon. You'll be fine.
I should be clear. I haven't officially had a fatwa declared on me, but like several people mentioned it in that article.
Of course.
You know, this Jew author will have a fatwa. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. It's like they want to wish death on them themselves, but they're too pussy to do it, so they'll expect other people to do it. Lazy fucks. If you're going to want somebody dead, wish it yourself. Harden the fuck up, Nancy.
So that was weird.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I was like, hey, you know, this is a fairly high profile piece.
It got a lot of retweets.
One of our publications. And I think the positive seems to definitely outweigh the negative.
That's how it usually does.
Yeah. You know, we may have had like a bunch of shitty tweets about the Zionist conspiracy or something, but we also got a bunch of people order a copy. So,
you know, people putting your name in like multiple parentheses or something. So,
right.
here's something. In terms of like weird, our weird fandoms getting mainstream.
Yeah.
So remember Tyra Banks?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2009, G-Fox and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So Steve Harvey, who's in the same fucking vein, has got a horse famous, quotation fingers, YouTuber that's going to be on the show on the 24th of... Let's see, yeah, 24th of January, representing the bronies.
Oh, my God, it's the bronies' turn
yep.
on the daytime talk show
And I'm
circuit.
Just like, you know what? Fuck you. you know, it's their turn. They deserve it.
Bronies were a mistake, is that what you're saying?
Yep. I should have just kept making those YouTube videos back in 2010. I could be a millionaire. Probably not. Oh, yeah, that just came up, and I'm just like, oh, my God, really? And I immediately linked, like, hey, guys, remember this? Mm-hmm. So the horse people I talked to, and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that drama bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Is It Weird segment, and it's like, the dude's a comedian. It's not going to go well for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like it won't go well for, you know, it didn't go so hot for the people in that Bronies documentary with Delancey.
Oh.
Oh, they're just...
What? What happened to them?
They're all dead.
Oh, my God.
They're all dead. Every last one of them.
Delancey issued a fatwa on them
yep.
and had them all killed.
Yes. You know,
only Lauren Faust survived.
Yeah. That's because she was off the show at the time, and now she's doing stuff, I guess. I don't know what she's doing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're coming up on an hour. We're going to stop and save, and I'm going to get a drink. And we've
okay.
got some emails. We'll be back. I have acquired a drink, and we're back. And so you can always send us emails to notcast@foxzephyrs.com. You can send us anonymous ask on our Tumblr, notcast.com or notcast.tumblr.com. We'll take you to our thing, and you can send us questions anonymously. But first, a dramatic reading from a member of our Telegram chat from a certain orange-skinned persona. Here, go take it away, Fuzz.
Dear Notcast, my name is Donald J. Trump. I am a closet furry, and during a publicity stunt, I accidentally became president of the USA. Now my aides want to take away my Twitter before I accidentally link to furry porn on 4chan, and my wife says she can't go to furry conventions disguised in suit anymore. Anyway, do the Notcasters have any advice on how to keep the mood with my wife, Murray Purry, over the next 4 to 8 years? Ah, melted me.
Yep. And it was funny because half of it was like, why can I hear Fuzz reading that? Because he did. Ha ha. Good job, Lixie. So, yes, we do have a few emails this week. Also, another fun fact.
I have the best fursuits.
Only the best. So huge. My paws are huge. And this mane, I'm going to tell you, it's the best.
Nobody boops like me.
My squeak is the best. They're huge, just like my hands.
Paws are huge.
So let's...
Huge.
Well, I'm taking up the emails. Also, the Power Rangers movie trailer came out.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Yes, except it's actually not...
I see Sunset's just given up there.
Yeah, she fell off. I had to move stuff around.
That's right. She was perched in his.
Yeah, she's
okay.
Kind of like sitting in his horns.
Oh, I thought she was in the umbrella. No, sitting in his horns. That works.
Yeah, she's
she stands
chilling.
Pretty well there.
Yeah.
Sorry, looking at Saffron's action figure or in action figures.
They're You're not dolls, man. You're action figures, except they're statues. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I'm going to start out with the first one here from the 17th. It is an anonymous ask from the Tumblr.
Okay.
So, hi, guys. I sent you my first questions back in episode 254, so like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Homeschool adventures. I was the fox who was dealing with college loneliness and the ability to escape anti-gay parents due to living at home. Well, the ending of my story is actually a happy one. Not only have I graduated, but I have been accepted for a work visa in Australia. Hmm. It's not like they can control my love life from America. Thanks for giving me the support I needed 2 years ago. Life goes on. Now, find a mate.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay. Congratulations. We're helping. That's awesome. It's like, this message is from a mailing list. What? That's not what a mailing list is, my phone.
Okay. You want me to read the next one?
Yep.
Subject is relationship advice! Exclamation point. Yo, Notcasters. I've been a regular listener for about a year, and I've come up with a relationship question y'all might be able to help with. I'm a guy in my early 30s. My boyfriend is 25. We've been dating about a year and a half, met each other at the bar at my first fur convention ever. It's a solid relationship between alpha and pup. Ooh. Sorry, I've read so much about wolves and how that's completely inaccurate. Anyway...
Go on.
It's okay in domestic canines. But over time, the pup has expressed his worry that I get mad over games. The pup almost never gets mad about anything. I'm not easy to anger either. It takes a lot for me to get pissed at people, but games, those I've been known to cuss about. The main example would be this. When playing Smash Brothers with buds, I might get frustrated and yell, "Bullshit!" I've got a powerful booming voice, so it's loud and it carries. This embarrasses or scares pup. I've asked Bubs, I'm sorry, I saw the second trailer for Logan today, and it looks so fucking good.
I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it, man.
There's a Red Band version that has some swearing in it. Watch that, because the end is quite funny. But anyway, it looks so good. Bub. Anyway, sorry. I've asked Buds, who are honest guys, to give their opinions on this bad habit of mine. These are dudes who would call me an asshole to my face. Most said, not a problem that I've noticed. A few said, first time you did it, I was a little surprised. But you swore and immediately went back to normal. The last line's true. I blow up some anger and it's gone. I don't hold on to it. The worst example of my behavior was probably this. Playing a game where I got built out of an almost assured win, I got bad rolls for the entire game and lost to pure RNG. I'm assuming Zavrin knows what all this means. I tossed my cards onto the ground, growled, and stomped off to the bathroom. I came back and voiced an apology. That was early in our relationship. It was not my best moment. I was highly stressed due to work, which the pup knew, so I was very on edge. But I did something stupid, and the impression stuck. I know my gaming habits aren't my most appealing feature. In the face of that, I've chosen to walk away from a game instead of continuing to get pissed. When a game's done, I'll walk away and stop playing. It's not worth getting pissed over. Pup couches this as rage quitting. Ugh. He also sees my cussing outbursts as embarrassed to him and his scary signals that I might get physically violent. Note, despite being in mixed martial arts for more than a decade, I've never gotten seriously physical with anyone, and I swore an oath to my dojo never to be physically aggressive. He doesn't understand why I would ever get angry with a game. This ain't a major issue, but it is what comes up in our relationship repeatedly. It's clearly something that bothers Pup, and while I could try to see a little validity in his caution and his feelings, he's essentially asking me to never get angry. That seems unreasonable to me. I could try and roll back the behavior as best I can, even though the embarrassment he perceives from others isn't real and wouldn't be directed at him, but I'm not going to be able to avoid ever getting angry. Am I being nuts here? It really seems to me that Pup is making a mountain out of a molehill. We've talked this out more than a few times, and as many times as I've heard Pup out, this fear or embarrassment has no rational bias. I don't know how to move forward or even if I should try on this issue. How should I approach this? Charwolf. In my opinion, it sounds like Pup's making a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, I think pretty much everyone I've ever known has exclaimed in irritation at a video game or something, right? I mean, and you said and the thing about you storming off to the other room or whatever, it's like The important thing there, though, is that you came back and apologized, which is what I do. If I'm having a bad day or my blood sugar is low and I snap at my mate or something, then I apologize. Once you calm down and realize I was being a shit, the adult thing to do is go and apologize, which you did. So I don't know. I mean, you're not getting angry. You're not breaking. I mean, you're getting angry. You're not breaking things or anything like that. I don't know. It sounds like maybe he's a little sensitive, or maybe he's had something happen in his past this is like a trigger to him. Has he had like an abusive relationship in the past or an abusive family or something?
Why, you know, it would be good to ask why he,
you know, if this is something that like he has a legitimate like sensitivity about, then yeah, you know, the good thing to do would be to try to rein it in a little bit. But at the same time, to me, it doesn't sound like your behavior is that crazy.
Yeah, like,
I don't know.
In competitive games, it's actually really common to get mad because if your team won't get on the fucking point, or they're not pushing the payload, or God damn it, why didn't you heal me, you son of a bitch? Or you goddamn
fucking... Because you walked into the fucking fire and stood there.
Well, you should heal harder, noob.
I'm just quoting some of the angry from healer tweets I've seen. Yeah.
Well, speaking as someone who has played a healer in WoW since Burning Crusade, I'm well accustomed to that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that also... You can also change what you play. So, one, you know, it's like when it comes down to competitive gaming, I can get real mad. Mm-hmm. So I don't really engage in it that much. Like, I don't play ranked in Overwatch. I just play casual mode because it's just for fun then. Mm-hmm. And if you're dealing with shitters on your team, it's not the end of the world. You're not losing rank, you know. That's why I don't play games like Command. Well, I did play Command & Conquer, but I didn't play it online. But I didn't play StarCraft mm-hmm. or StarCraft 2. Like, I played the campaigns, but I never played them online because getting destroyed by Koreans is no fun. Because, you know, being in the wet cardboard league, getting, you know, losing there is what? Okay, so, okay, sorry. Okay,
I'm just looking around like, sense, where's the sense?
So, okay, in StarCraft, there's bronze, silver, gold, diamond, Grandmaster League. And the joke being that I am a such utter shit that I'm not in even bronze. I'm in the wet cardboard league.
Huh. I'm in burlap. It's more durable.
That would be a step above my skill level when it comes to competitive. Right. So, and it's a matter of mediating that. Like in Elite Dangerous, mm-hmm. I tend to play solo or in wings because that way I can control my encounters and dickbags who are intent on being dickbags can't dickbag me. And I don't know. It's like just like I recognize that for me, I can get angry at Vidya games real easy. So yeah. I don't tend to play games where I'll get angry.
And there's like I don't get angry a lot, but there are a couple of things occasionally that just will really piss me off quickly. And it's like people being idiots on the road and technology not doing what I want it to. Yeah. You know, like if I'm in a bad mood and I'm trying to do some experimental thing with my computer and it's not working out, and it should be working out, and I just go, ah! And that's usually when Tyrion is like, get up, walk away from the computer, you're going to go have something to eat now.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, talk to your pup and see if there what reasoning there is behind it.
And maybe explain to him that denigrating you as rage quitting when you're trying to take yourself out of the situation where you're going to get angry about it is definitely not helping.
Because, you know,
that seems a little childish.
It's why I don't really play Heroes of the Storm competitively and why I don't play Dota or League. Because, you know, people will shit upon you very quickly. And then if you rage quit, oh, you're a rage quitter. Da, da, da. It's like, no, I'm just not going to play those games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play things and have a good time. At least if I'm playing Binding of Isaac and I fuck up, it's because I fucked up and not because somebody else fucked me over.
Because now you fucked up?
It's all RNG and, you know, goddamn Edmund. The developer of Binding of Isaac, sorry.
I thought it was RNG a character.
RNG is random number generation. So Binding of Isaac, the game floor layout and item distribution changes every game. There's a seed number that locks a set of items in, but you don't know what it is until, like, you end the game, and you don't know what you'll get until you finish the run. So, like, if you have a good run, you can redo it if you want, or you just, like, can get fucked over because you don't have enough power, and you just go, well, that sucks, and hit restart, or you die. But in that particular case, it's the game. It's just random numbers and not someone else being a dickbag.
Judy Hopps has a hot little butt.
Yes, she is. If you follow Glacier Clear on Tumblr, she has put a bunch of News Utopia stuff up.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. Okay. I've been posting them into the Notcast Telegram chat, and it's nestled therein with all the rest of the porn. But yeah, she's recently done a fresh batch of Zootopia stuff with Judy and Nick, etc. She also did, like, the Pig Cop from the End and Gazelle and the Tigers and a couple other ones.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Fuck the bunny. All right, so next email.
Your turn.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
Gotta unlock my phone, which is still, I'll have you guys know, my lock screen is still this really adorable pic of Nick and Judy hugging.
Oh.
And then, of course, my wallpaper is Judy nude from Sampikos. Uh-huh. They only did a few pieces of her, and then they're like, I don't really want to do that because I like her too much as a character and don't feel sexually toward her. I'm like, you don't want to fuck the bunny? God damn it.
What is wrong with you?
But they draw delicious flat otters, so it's okay.
Mm.
Opening back my emails. So, this one's titled Travel Advice. Dear Notcast, I'll be going to America in a month or so to attend Texas Furry Fiesta.
Yay! Oh, neat!
And I'll be in the States for 2 weeks, and I'm kind of freaking out about expenses and convention rates.
Conversion rates. Yeah.
So my question is, roughly how much should I expect for day-to-day expenses for a trip that long? This isn't including accommodation or my convention stay. Those I've already paid for. Also, what would be a decent airline to fly with from Dallas to Tucson? Cheers, Rayfar. So you'll want to have probably about $50 a day, probably. I mean, that's going out to eat at a decent restaurant and driving around. Like, if you're not renting a car, but you're Ubering about or you're walking, which is possible if you're staying in certain areas around here and totally not possible if you're staying in others.
Note that bucks is a colloquial term for U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars, yes.
Yes.
Yes. USD.
Mm-hmm.
Not Trump bucks yet. So you'll probably want to have, like, maybe $30 for meals and then incidentals. It really depends on how you're going to be getting around. But if you're at Fiesta, like, so if you're at Fiesta, there are probably – there's – at least 24 restaurants within a mile.
Yeah, there's also food trucks at the con.
So it is totally possible to – and there's a Walmart like a mile away, maybe even less than that.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy supplies and have peanut butter sandwiches or whatever, you can totally do that too. You've already paid for accommodation, convention stay. As for decent airline to fly from Dallas to Tucson, I would say Southwest.
Yeah. They're pretty inexpensive. You get, like, 2 checked bags free.
Actually, I'm going to look.
Yeah, Southwest doesn't go absolutely everywhere. So definitely check that. I personally fly American a lot because American Airlines has a big hub at DFW Airport. So it's easy to get places. And I'm building up frequent flyer miles with them. But they're not to everybody's taste. That's just me because they're here and I'm in their member program. But I've heard good things about Virgin. I've heard Spirit is to be avoided. They're super cheap, but they charge you. They nickel and dime you. They charge you for every little thing. Like, they charge you for a carry-on item, for fuck's sake.
Is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So if you're flying, when's Fiesta?
March.
All right, so I'm just going to, like, pull something up. It's like, if you buy it enough in advance, it's like if you're flying out on, say, the 23rd, flying back on the 27th from Dallas to Tucson and round-tripping it, let's see. Because if you're doing it immediately, so, yeah, if you fly out from, like, that, you can get flights from, like, 173 to 236 round trip, and that's like 2:36 round trip if you that's an afternoon flight. 5:40 p.m. arrives 10:40 p.m. So if you do it enough, Southwest is nice. 2 checked bags free and not awful. I'd fly that because their hub is Dallas Love Field, which is right where you're going to be. So that's my recommendation. But make sure you have plenty of cash on hand for food and whatnot if you intend to go out much.
Go oot in a boot.
Oot in a boot. That is a lot of porn.
Oh, you flipping through the Telegram?
Well, I just opened the Telegram thing, and it's like, boy, people are just flooding tonight. That's great.
Okay.
Lots of gay stuff.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to read this last email here.
Okay.
Subject is, I'm going to do what now? Okay, here's the email. Where do I go to meet people? As in, fully cognizant of the disadvantage that I have, which is to say being quite tubby, I'm interested naturally while dating someone. So where do I go to meet people? You guys have any suggestions? Thanks.
All right. Well, if you're a big nerd, like many furries are, I would say you can always start at your local furry scene. You can find out if there's meetups. You can find local message boards. We'll try to talk about that. There's also Telegram groups nowadays, like regional Telegram groups. You want to like just meet up and hang out with folks. And, you know, I'm sure you can hook up with folks. Don't do that. Well, unless you want to. Just don't be like, I like you, humps.
Nut licks and chill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But being a chubby furry doesn't really diminish your luck that much. Because guess what? If you're a gay furry looking for other gay furries, a lot of us are chubby dudes.
I think he's straight or bi-leaning to women, one or the other.
Well, furries are still... There's still plenty of chicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plenty of guys that can tuck it back.
Yeah.
That might not help, sorry.
No. But yeah, I mean, thankfully, thanks to our modern nightmare age, our dystopian future, we have things like Telegram where you can meet people that are in your area, ostensibly, that have similar interests. Like, I'm sure there are some very specific Dallas furry bondage gear and, like, you know, it's this niche group of 15 people that are all about being furries local to your area that are really into spanking and leather, you know, because I'm...
Wait, what?
And Buzz is like, wait, what? What? Really?
Sorry.
Is there how many people are in there? Have I spanked them all yet? But I'm just saying that, like, you just need to look around. And as for meeting RL, well, you talk to people online and then you try to meet them RL, especially if it's a regional meetup. If it's a regional chat, odds are people are at least somewhat in your area. Other than that, you can always try conventions. Bar scenes, not great.
Yeah, I would probably avoid that. Cons might be fun. Cons are mostly good for when you've already kind of met somebody online and everything, and you want to meet in the IRL.
Yep. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like you... The internet has made it very easy for us to meet people, but then converting it to RL is a little bit harder, but it's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're in one of those subgroups, like, say, writers or something like that, then it's a good place to meet people that maybe have similar interests. But, yeah, meeting people in your local community. I forget where the writer lives, though. I'm not sure how active it is.
So, all right. Excuse me.
Caitlyn Jenner is such an idiot.
Yep.
Oh, that I just slipped out as I'm looking at it. Apparently, she's going to dance with Trump at the inauguration. I'm just...
Fuck him. But not literally.
She's the LGBT cousin that we all want to have nothing to do with at the family reunion.
Yeah. So, that's like... Number of people who attended the inaugural concert, 2009, 400,000, 2017, 10. Talk about low energy.
Wait, did you say 10 people attended?
10,000.
Oh, okay. Compared to what? What was the 2009 one, did you say?
400,000.
400,000.
Because it was a big outdoor concert.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, also, last little dip into politics, I guess, is that as a thank you for their years of service, Obama had a 2-hour Bruce Springsteen concert for his outgoing staff.
Nice.
When Trump couldn't get a fucking cover band to play ball.
So I read up more on that, and apparently the same cover band has actually played at several inaugurations across different parties. It was just something that they did, and like, so they were just going to do this one, but then they had so much backlash that they were like, you know what, fuck it. And also they're like, you know, we would never play a venue that the boss said wasn't cool. The boss being Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
If he didn't want his material there. So they're like, because most people that are in a cover band are fans of the person that they're covering. So they're like, boss wasn't cool with it, so we pulled out.
Yeah, and that's reasonable. I mean, it's the whole, it's nothing against them as specific individuals. It's just the concept, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Just but like, you know, it would have been great if they'd played like Born in the USA, because everyone thinks that's a super patriotic song, and it's not.
No,
it's like talking about all the problems in America and the Vietnam War. And
they just play the chorus, and it's all right. They just don't listen to the words.
Yeah. Just, okay. It's like people that play Every Breath You Take as a romantic song at weddings.
Every move you make, I'll be watching you.
Yeah, it's like...
No, it's a stalker song.
Yeah.
And that,
just a little bit.
And Baby, It's Cold Outside is not a romantic Christmas song.
No.
Especially. Maybe in the context of its original writing, but in modern times it has very creepy connotations.
Mm-hmm.
What's in this drink? Rum and all. What? Rum. Rum and all. Flop. That's not funny. So, oh, man. You know what, guys? We survived 8 years of Bush. We'll probably survive a year and a half of Trump, or gets impeached, or we all die in nuclear fire. So we will continue to...
We will keep podcasting right till the end of the country.
You know, there was this image. It was a scene from The Road, the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I retweeted it, and it was like, so let me start over. We were very concerned about this woman and her emails. And it's like them in their camp, like in their tent, like being lit by candlelight, and he's writing something down, and they're dying in the nuclear.
Oh, God.
Very concerned about a woman's email.
Yeah.
All right. But yes, we will continue. We will joke. We will mock. We will continue to be Murray Purry Furry Fur Fags.
We will not go gentle into that good night.
No, but we will use plenty of lube and protection.
That's right. Yes.
America. So, yeah, on that note, we should vlog. I'm like... Oh wait, we should tell people where they can find us if they want to see our our sarcastic internet shit, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at SavrinDrake, SavrinDrake. I have a YouTube channel that's kind of gone fallow for the moment because I haven't posted anything. But I
because the ground is sour because you buried a dead pet in it and it came to life and it killed a man.
Fucking metal. Though I did actually go to Half Price Books and I bought this big book of serial killers. So if I want to do like a YouTube series, like the serial killer of the week is Elizabeth Bathory, and talk about their crimes and how she bled out her servants and bathed in it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was going to do my last podcast inspired serial killers of the world YouTube series. I've got the source book for it.
Source book makes it sound like an RPG.
Oh, I'm talking about the Menendez brothers.
Those little shits.
Yep. So
you can find me on the Twitter at Fuzzwolf. That's spelled Fuzzwolf.
Yes. Good to know. You're no longer the like early
Buzzwolf 2000.
You're no longer like the future version. That's no longer the future.
That's right.
That's like those restaurants that were done in the 90s and they call themselves something 2000 and now they're like still Mariscos 2000 and it's like it's 2017, bro. We are fish, 17-year-old fish. it's on the Beltline near Josie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
just change everything to 3,000.
There we go. That way they have a longer tail on the name.
Yeah, sure.
Long tails, let me tell you.
Worry about it in 900 and 80 something years.
Well, Yoda will worry about that then.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to wrap this shit up. Nodcast.com takes you to our Tumblr. Follow us, like, and subscribe. 5 stars on iTunes. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/Nodcast. We're all tired. It's been a long week, and we're going to go to bed.
What do werewolves do on YouTube? They like and subscribe.
Good night, guys.
Good night.